Question. What do the three hierarchies with their separate orders represent? Answer. The three hierarchies represent the three grand acts of divinity, and each subordinate triple order represents the threefold manner of putting these acts into operation. Now the three acts typified are, according to St. Thomas, first, his own essential acts theologically called actus ad intra, i.e., acts respecting himself, by which, for instance, he knows and loves himself. Second, acts relating to the whole universal creation, i.e., his relation to it as creator, preserver, ruler, etc. Third, acts relating to individual things or beings in that universal creation. In the first order of acts we have paternity, filiation, procession, the Father, the only begotten Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the second, we have the creation of the world, its preservation and its ordering, creation, conservation, gubernation. In the third, we have, speaking of man, the creation, the redeeming, the glorifying, creation, regeneration, beatification. Or again, taking the outside world, we have the animal, vegetable, and mineral world. Father Faber says, "But the Holy Trinity is not only the most ancient, it is also the Queen of Mysteries. It is enthroned over all, it embraces all within itself. It lends to all their beauty, their force, their fitness, and their divinity. It is full of depths of mysteries we know and mysteries that to us are unknown. Especially does it contain twice three abysses of external operations, into which angels and men desire to look, and yet turn giddy as they gaze, as much because they are sweetly inebriated with the excesses of divine goodness, as because their understanding swims and at last gives way to ecstasy in the glories of the divine power. These six abysses are predestination, creation, incarnation, justification, transubstantiation, and glorification. These, with the mother mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, form the various sciences which comprise that prime glory of the human mind and marvelous edifice of Catholic theology." Question. How do the different orders represent these acts? Answer. Theologians say thus, God in his relations to himself is represented by the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. We come to the meaning of those words. Seraphim, from the Hebrew, means burning or flaming, because of their excess of the love of God, and hence are called the flaming seraphim. These represent the love of God, that infinite, unconquerable, undying love, and these are put in the highest place, as created representations of that wonderful attribute, the charity of God towards himself. In their relation to the subordinate orders also, the fiery zealots are fittedly placed first, for nothing so represents the power of attracting others towards God as being on fire oneself with love of God. I come to cast fire on the earth. The cherubim are placed second in that hierarchy, and the word cherubim means, according to St. Denis, a profusion of wisdom or knowledge, according to St. Augustine, the fullness of wisdom, according to St. Chrysostom, wisdom and purity. Now wisdom and purity, both being like light, are peculiarly typical of the Son of God. He was the true light which enlighteneth every man that cometh into this world, and we saw his glory, the glory, as it were, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In this first hierarchy the thrones hold third place. The word throne is taken from our own use of the expression. We understand what a throne means. It is the receptacle of royalty, and is even taken for royalty itself. Thus the love of the Father and the Son, the royal love of both, has found a common resting place in the Holy Spirit, and the resting place is equal to the occupier. The Holy Spirit is equal to the Father or to the Son. And again, reversing the order of the divine persons, since the three divine persons are equal, The seraphim must be taken as representative of the burning love of the Holy Ghost that on the day of Pentecost came down in the form of tongues of fire. The cherubim in this arrangement would still be typical of the Son, in whom was the plenitude of wisdom and holiness, and the thrones would represent the everlasting stronghold, the eternal unchangingness, the primal cause, and the mighty power and scepter of the Father. Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne. In this way, the seraphim would represent the Holy Ghost, the cherubim the Word, and the thrones the Father. They are in the immediate presence of God, are placed, as St. Denis puts it, in the vestibule of the divinity. Their one sole business is to assist before God. They are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell over them. By reason of their office they are never sent as messengers to men. To them God first imparts the knowledge of things that He wishes to make known, and through them it becomes known to the inferior ranks of angels. Ollier says, "The seraphim proceed from God as flames proceed from a furnace, and their circles surround Him as with a fiery blaze. The cherubim are the rays of the divine wisdom, and are, so to say, the eyes of God, under which He seems to regard Himself and all the external world. The thrones are the image of His sanctity. This hierarchy expresses the three great perfections we adore in God, namely, His love, His knowledge, and His holiness. These typify also these beautiful operations of grace whereby God draws to Himself intelligent beings. 1. Detaching them from creatures by His love. 2. Enlightening them interiorly by His heavenly wisdom. And 3. Making His throne in their hearts and abiding there forever."